Our reading for today is from Philippians chapter 3. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, look around you. Look at each other, those sitting across from you. Where do they hold their citizenship, each of us? When I was in Africa last month with Dan McMiller and Kevin Robson, we met many wonderful people whose citizenship was in Tanzania or Ethiopia, and we flew on planes with people holding passports representing the citizenship of many countries around the world. And yet, when we were in Tanzania, we stumbled upon some people from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who weren't in our group with American citizenship. There was something happy and warm about meeting somebody across the country or across the nation or across the world as fellow Americans in a foreign country. Paul is in prison, and he's writing a letter to the Christians in Philippi. And three quarters into his letter, he appeals to our citizenship. Now, citizenship in Paul's day was a big deal. I suppose it is today as well. At least for Paul, it was great to have Roman citizenship. About 10 years before this letter to the Philippians, Paul was in Philippi. There was a slave girl, you might remember the account, who had a spirit of fortune telling, which made her owner very wealthy. The girl cried out daily, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Finally, Paul looked at the demon and said to it, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it did. Well, the owner didn't really like that very much. The owner seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace, had them stripped and beaten with rods, and thrown into the Philippian jail with their feet in stocks. Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns that night. There was an earthquake. The jail doors were opened and their chains fell off. The jailer woke up. He was about to kill himself because he knew he would get killed by his Roman bosses. And Paul and Silas calmed the jailer and went and baptized the jailer and his family that night. Scripture doesn't really tell us this, but it's kind of interesting. They must have all come back to the jail then and put themselves back in stocks. The next day, the Roman magistrates ordered Paul and Silas to be released. Paul said, "No, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into jail. And do they now throw us out secretly?" Yet see what Paul did. He appealed to his Roman citizenship. The magistrates were afraid because they violated citizenship laws, apologized to Paul and Silas, and asked them to leave the city. We know citizenship is just as important today. Look at this caravan situation coming up through Mexico. as the whole conversation is around legal or illegal citizenship into the United States. Or go and travel overseas and get in trouble. Or try to come back into this country and see how important it is to have your passport and citizenship in this country. But Paul's letter is not talking about citizenship into a country, is he? He's talking about our citizenship in heaven that comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. But why? Why is Paul appealing to our heavenly citizenship here? What's the big deal? St. Paul is extending comfort and strength and hope to those on earth who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him for the forgiveness of sin and for eternal life. Paul is talking to us. He's talking to you who are suffering in this life because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in one degree or another, we all are. Just a little earlier in this letter, he writes, "Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh." He warns us to not have any confidence in the flesh or the things of this world, which even you and I are pulled and sucked into, as even he put confidence in the flesh and the world in his former days of persecuting Christians. But now St. Paul says this, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. But for his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Paul warns us of those who are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, who live and act as though their citizenship begins and ends in this world. Their end is destruction, Paul says. They criticize and they tear apart. They slander and they destroy reputations. They divide and separate. They destroy to build themselves up. Their God is their belly. They fill the cavities of their lives with power and control. And they'll accomplish their goals with destruction and lies. Their glory is in their shame. They brag about the abortions they've had or have done or have defended. They take pride in their meanness and harm and violence. They justify their sanctimonious actions as standing up for the cause or taking one for the team. Their minds are set on earthly things. In his homily on this same text, the early church father Chrysostom writes this, "Let us build houses." Where? On earth. "Let us procure fields." On earth again. "Let us gain power." On earth again. "Let us get glory." On earth again. "Let us be rich." Always on earth. Why do we set our minds on earthly things? Why are we so tempted thinking our earthly citizenship is far more grand, far more wonderful, far more prosperous or advantageous than our citizenship in Christ? And who are these people who walk as enemies of the cross? For Paul, he was talking about the Judaizers who refused to accept Christ's death and resurrection as the only means by which we are saved. And they resorted to beatings and stoning and jailing and slandering and conniving and taunting and killing. Who are these beaters and stoners and jailers and slanders and connivers and taunters and killers today? There are those who overtly live as enemies of the cross of Christ. We can see their actions. We can hear their words. We can read their blogs. But repentance begins with the secret thoughts and desires of the heart. It is me. It is you. We too walk as enemies of the cross. Which is why the next words are so joyfully wonderful. A truth that is beyond our imagined pleasure. As Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And this is a citizenship that comes to us through Jesus Christ. He came to destroy our enemies by dying on the cross. Your sin and your death is destroyed. Excuse me. His accusations against you, the devil's accusations against you, are like a feather in the wind. Jesus Christ entered the belly of the grave in your place. For 3 days he lay in the tomb, taking our death into his own flesh, killing and defeating our sin and our death. In his shame, he is actually glorified. And in his shame, he glorifies and honors us by raising us from the dead. With his mind set on earth, with his mind set on the cross, with his mind set on you, he makes us citizens and inhabitants of heaven. Jerusalem, the golden, where we can give praise to the Lamb with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Your citizenship is not here on earth, with its tears and struggles, with its fights and fury, with its sins and deceptions, with its warring chaos. Do you really want your citizenship here? Your citizenship is in heaven, which is yours right now. For where Christ is, there is heaven. Where your belly and soul are fed with the bread of life in the Lord's feast, there is heaven. Where your flesh and soul is washed in the water that pours from his side into the font, there is heaven. Where his word enters your mind and your soul and your ear, that sets our eyes on heavenly things, there is heaven. Heaven is here now. But not yet. And then these words are spoken into your baptized body and soul and life. You who lived on earth in all of its toil, to work, to fight the good fight, to serve, to teach, to preach, to administer, to worship, to love God and neighbor, these words are spoken into your dead ears. Now we commit this body to the ground. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. In the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through his Lord Jesus Christ. Who will change this lowly body so that they will be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself? Doesn't that sound like Paul in our letter to the Philippians today? But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body so that it will be like his glorious body. by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And then in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, he will raise your body from the ground and put flesh on your dry bones and rejoin it to your soul, and you will enjoy and celebrate and live in the final, full, eternal consummation of the resurrection of the dead with citizenship in heaven forever. A citizenship that has privileges bar none. No more crying, no more pain, no more sickness, no more sin, no more death. Purchased for you by his blood, death, and resurrection. So, look around you. Look at each other sitting next to you, those sitting across from you. Where do they hold their citizenship? You know. All we have to do is look at the cross. Our citizenship is in heaven.